Hi, folks. This is CBD of the Kutchip Newsletter Worldwide Podcasting Network. Today, my partner and friend JJ Sefton is conspicuously absent. Apparently, he has a real life outside of this podcast, which is a little frustrating. But in his stead, we have Jim Lakely of the Heartland Institute, and he is here with me today to chat with Christian Toto, whom was on once before. He is, if not everyone is familiar with his work, and you should be familiar with his work. He has a website in which he reviews movies, and I think he's a very good movie reviewer. I've read several of them today, and I agreed completely. But he also injects, I wouldn't say right of center, I would say rational political analysis of movies and movie making and so on. Christian, is that fair to describe you that way, or am I way off?
No, I think you're close, if not on target. It's funny because I am a right of center film critic on paper, and that's who I am. I'm not denying that. But I feel like in recent years, it's just been talking common sense. Maybe stars shouldn't alienate half of their audience by the comments they make. Maybe we should really truly embrace free speech, and maybe we should kind of shut down the hypocrisy that's going on from Celebrity Nation. So, I would like to think all those things really aren't left or right, but maybe they are.
Jim, you still there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still here. I love this topic, and I love Christian Toto. He's been on my In the Tank podcast with the Heartland Institute. We should bring him in at the end of the year to do a year-end roundup, and it's been getting more interesting every year as Hollywood goes completely crazy. And in ideology, to the extent that it ignores what the audience wants, and I think. Christian, you and I, when we do our annual end of the year podcast, I think I keep asking the same question. When is Hollywood going to stop this? At some point, as the famous quote from Margaret Thatcher, at some point, the about socialism, you run out of other people's money. And in Hollywood, I would keep thinking eventually they're just going to be able to not continue to lose money, or in other words, get other people's money because they spend their money on movie tickets and they desire it. And I think maybe 2025 is the year. I think some of the things that we're seeing happen in the movie business and the television business these days, at least to me, gives hints and signs that Hollywood has finally gotten to the point in 2025 where they cannot continue to lose money at the rate they're losing it.
Yeah, this could be a really critical year. I agree. I mean, the fecal matter is hitting the fan. There's just too many market forces battering the industry, from streaming and video games and social media and YouTube, and the streaming platforms aren't making the cash like they thought they would. The theatrical window, closing, original films struggling to find purchase at the box office. There's just so much going on, and I think when you see a mega company like Walt Disney course correct and get rid of some of the woke and backpedal a bit on some of its public stances, that's a sign that finally someone's getting the message. But it's going to take a while, and Hollywood players are just really this bubble mentality where they don't really have outside points of view. I just spoke to a film executive who doesn't work directly with the studios. He's sort of a part of a different system. And he really spoke eloquently about connecting with the audience, researching what they have to say, knowing what's on their minds. And I thought, gosh, how refreshing is that? I wonder if major studios can say the same.
That's a valid point, and it's an important point. That makes me think about the headline on your website, which, by the way, folks, is called HollywoodInToto.com. And he's reviewing a movie that I've never heard of called September 5th. And his headline is September 5th draws powerful distinction between good and evil. I want to see good and evil in my movies. I'm not talking about in my comedies. Caddyshack was funny regardless. But if you want to make a serious movie, I want to see the good guys and the bad guys. And I don't think that's too much to ask. And I think that for what, 80 years, the movie industry understood that, but they have lost contact with those simple concepts. And I haven't I can't even remember the last time I went into a movie theater. And if I pay more than $5 for a streaming movie, I'm pissed off. And I certainly wouldn't get the first run movies for $20 or $30. It's simply not going to be in my wheelhouse. So anyway.
It's an interesting point. A couple of thoughts. One is, listen, there is always room for nuance and gray. Think about The Sopranos or Walter White and Breaking Bad, where you have these anti-heroes. I mean, I think there are great stories to be explored in that space, but I think we often ignore the good guy, bad guy motif. And look at Sound of Freedom from, I guess, a couple of years ago now. You know, that was good guys and bad guys, and it just absolutely exploded in the pop culture landscape. And I think maybe people would just starve for that story. You know, it wasn't right wing, even though the media said it was. It wasn't hardcore Christian, even though the media said it was. It was just an old school throwback story where a good guy risked everything to save kids. And, you know, we can go on and on about the story behind the story and how factually based it was. But the bottom line is, as a film, it resonated. And, you know, when movies like Top Gun Maverick and Sound of Freedom come out and they just overperform in magnificent fashion, and Hollywood doesn't step back and say, oh my gosh, let's clone this, which I don't think has been happening in the last few years, it really makes you wonder what's going on behind the scenes.
Why have they lost so much contact with the basic function of the corporation in America, which is to make money? That's what I don't understand. Take the politics out of it. If Walt Disney wants to push transsexualism and gender bending and the various things that irritate the shit out of me whenever I go see a movie, that's up to them. And if they can make money doing it, good for them. I don't, you know, I won't. It won't be my money, but they're not making money. And the disconnect is profound, and I simply don't understand it because there have to be people within Walt Disney who are saying, what are we doing here? Let's make some money. That's what we're here for. I want my stock to go back to what it was 5 years ago. If folks take a look at Disney stock, it's abysmally bad. It's been a bad investment for a very, very long time. And it's a big company, so the idea that the investors who are, let's face it, you and me, are going to sit back and continue to take subpar results year after year after year, I think is a silly assumption. It's going to stop eventually.
Yeah, I think a lot of the problem is just, you know, for all the talk of diversity in Hollywood and how wonderful it is, and yeah, on paper it can be quite wonderful, they don't have diversity of thought, and I think that's a real problem. And I think the people who might want to raise their hands and say, listen, guys and gals, we may need to go in a different path. We may need to embrace certain sections of the audience that we've been ignoring. We might want to go in this direction, not that direction. I don't think they're either are able to be heard, or they're fearful of being heard. So I just don't think there's any naysayers in there. I think it's a lot of groupthink, and I think they, you know, I think they can be conservative in the most negative of ways, where they're just sticking to what they've done for years and years. They're afraid to try something new. They're afraid to be bold, and they're paying the consequences. I mean, my gosh, just there's real panic behind the scenes, and I don't think you can deny it anymore.
Let me throw out a little theory here. I mean, you know what's funny? It's not as if Disney is destroying everything when it comes to content. There are entire YouTube channels where their only topic is covering Disney's downfall. And I watch several of them, and they are very entertaining. So let's not say that they're the destroyer of worlds. They have created some. But, you know, I think this really goes back to, you know, this is my grand theory of everything, and that is that Donald Trump's election in 2016 broke the brains of a lot of people, and especially in Hollywood. And I think the turning point where Disney could not go back, and I know you remember this, Christian, and I'm certain a lot of our listeners do as well, was the so-called Don't Say Gay bill in Florida. And when this was when Bob Chapek had taken over for Bob Iger. Although Bob Iger was still in the shadows, and looking over Chapek's shoulder, and Chapek said, "Look, we're not going to do the politics thing. This is not our lane. We're going to stay out of it." And the staffers, the creatives at Disney, revolted and went outside and protested and made a big thing about it. And then we saw the spectacle of Bob Chapek basically doing a hostage video, saying, "I've changed my mind. You're right. We have to use our power to for good in this world." And that's where I go back to Trump, because Hollywood thought that Trump's election was their fault in the sense that They could have stopped it if they had only used their enormous power in the culture. They could have stopped it. We could have stopped fascism when we didn't do it. And so they have spent every moment since in their own minds repenting for that sin of omission in the culture. And it has resulted in the destruction of everything. And ironically, the destruction of their power over the culture. They don't have it anymore. And they lost it by committing suicide, really.
How much power did they have, though? I know that, well, I'm not a good measure of it. For instance, I'll give you an example. We have an exercise machine, and it happens to be next to my desk at home. And my wife will work out on it, and she'll watch some silly whatever on television, network television. And I have to bite back the caustic comments about the overt political messages that are being flung at her. By these writers. And after she finishes working out, she looks at me and says, "It's just a fucking TV show. Relax." And I don't I, and that calls into question my whole premise. How much power do they have? Over me, they have an amazing amount of power because it irritates the hell out of me every time I hear this. But maybe, maybe for the great majority of Americans, they don't really care that much about that kind of stuff.
Think they have enormous power and no power at the same time. It's very weird. And I think it just depends on the messaging and the audience. I mean, I always go back to the Rachel haircut, and everyone wanted the Rachel haircut. And they didn't really say, you must get Jennifer Aniston's hair. They just presented her as an attractive, hip, cool person with a funky haircut, and everyone wanted it. And I think that Hollywood thinks there's always the potential that they can change hearts and minds, which is why they do what they do. So I think certain things do change the culture. I mean, Joe Biden, in one of his rare moments of clarity in recent years, talked about how Will and Grace and Modern Family changed how America accepts gay marriage. And I don't agree with Mr. Biden a lot, but I think he's right. I mean, I think those shows, and they did it in a way that was not like lecturing and not like messaging. It just was, there's Cam and Mitch, and they're kind of lovable, and they're kind of screw-ups, and they're kind of sweet, and they're kind of very flawed, but they're a loving gay couple with a kid, and they work. And I think that matters. And I think that, so I think the potential to change hearts and minds is almost always there. And I think they often do it badly, so it doesn't really impact things. But they can't resist the fact that they can sway things with the work they do.
They've
What was
lost, I think they've lost any sense of balance though, since those two sitcoms. The typical gay couple today is perfect, and the typical Christian is decidedly imperfect. And I find that to be so heavy-handed. That's why I scream and yell at the TV while my wife is working out. I don't know. That's it. They just they've lost all perspective, and maybe that's why they have less power now.
I'm actually watching, I watch an episode or two of this Good American Family, I believe it's called. I'm seeing it on Hulu. It might be on broadcast TV as well. All these things blur together to me, but it's about a Christian family, a faith-friendly family, and they adopt this child, and it's a big train wreck. But the way they present faith and the way they present these characters, the mom and the dad, is very condescending and very, rib, rib. And even the actors are kind of a little bit over the top. And I mean, it just kind of shows you how why faith-based content, even when it's deeply flawed, connects with audiences because they're not insulting people of faith. So just to kind of say, show you how the messaging works within the system. But yeah, I think subtle is always better. I think heavy-handed rarely works. And I think, the best stories often do have a message, do have a point of view. But if it's kind of within the context of the story, if it's not stopping for a lecture, it probably has a better chance of resonating.
Speaking of that, speaking of what kind of message you're trying to send and subtlety, something that was not subtle was the recent Snow White, Disney's Snow White.
Wait, is there a new Snow White? I haven't heard about this.
There is. And it's a girl boss. It's a communist girl boss story, if you can believe it. And it's about as subtle as a sledgehammer. And so maybe we can get into this because I know that CVD wants to talk about this movie. But, and I talked in the beginning here about I think we may have seen the turning point. I think we have come to the point where Hollywood has decided we have lost enough money. We have gone way too far down the wrong road. And I think perhaps in a year, 5 years, we will look back at the disastrous release of Disney's Snow White as the turning point when Hollywood stopped this nonsense, stopped trying to shove heavy-handed messaging into every single piece of so-called entertainment and started to pay attention to their customers again and give them what they want instead of doing what ideologies or, instead of doing what the ideological want.
I
Yeah,
think
I
that
don't
the
disagree with that. I think this could be a turning point in certain ways. I mean, I think it already happened, but because this movie has been basically shot and waiting to be released for such a long time, it couldn't really catch up with the zeitgeist. But yeah, I mean, this was what should have been a slam dunk, a beloved property of Disney, their first big animated film, a story that resonates with the generations. This should have been a printing cash moment for Disney. Instead, they're going to lose, I don't even know what the latest estimates are, but quite a lot. I mean, they may make some money back when Disney Plus gets it, but it's a debacle. It's an absolute debacle, and it shouldn't have been this way. This should have been an easy. This should have been the kind of the commercial layup, and it's not. And boy, there are so many things. What do you guys want to talk about first when it comes to the story? Because a lot of it has been covered, but I think there's some good lessons we can learn along the way too.
I'm fascinated by Rachel Ziegler. Is that her? Did I get that correct?
I think it's
Zegler?
Zegler.
Okay. Well, I'm going to call her Ziegler then. Maybe it'll irritate her. Rachel Ziegler's vile attitude toward pretty much everything that makes America great, and the idea that she is this loose cannon who feels that she can say whatever she wants to whomever she wishes, and there will be no repercussions. That speaks very poorly about her as a human being, but it also speaks poorly about Disney as a corporation that has obviously lost control of its employees. You mentioned the don't say gay stuff. They lost control of their employees. They allowed their employees to control what the corporation does, and that's a terrible, terrible thing to allow to happen. And Ziegler has doubled down on that, and she has, perhaps without her pontificating and her nasty comments about everybody, the movie would have done marginally better. Maybe not. I really don't know. The clips that I saw were cringeworthy, but the fact that Disney wasn't able to control her really shocks me.
Jim, I have a lot to say, but I've been talking a lot too. So why don't you jump in first? I want to get your thoughts.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think this is, again, I really think the whole Snow White debacle is going to be a turning point for Hollywood. I really believe we will look back on it and on so many levels. And the fact that, as I mentioned, the Don't Say Gay bill was the they couldn't turn back point. And as CBD said, this is when the employees took over corporate policy instead of the other way around. Or another way to put it, of course, is the cliche that the inmates were running the asylum. And then you just started seeing all this messaging in the product. But I think Zegler actually is just kind of perfect in that she is, I almost feel sorry for her, and I would if she didn't, keep flipping me off in images and telling me that I should never know peace. And so every time I want to have empathy for Rachel Zegler, I remember those things. But she's kind of a perfect encapsulation of her generation of Hollywood, and maybe that's not fair. But she literally couldn't keep her mouth shut because she has been told, as generationally, her entire life, that her feelings are the most important thing in any situation, and she doesn't know anything else. And so she does say that, half the country can go F themselves and should never know peace, and literally says in her own Instagram account that vote blue, and if that's a deal breaker for you, that's all right. I don't need your business. Rachel, you do need my business. You need Christian's business. You need Daniel's business. And the idea that Disney let this young woman run completely out of control. I think it was in Variety, Christian, the story of the producer who's working on a movie that has employed thousands of people, and that Disney has invested 250, maybe $350 million in, And he is required to fly from Los Angeles to New York to personally tell her to cut it out. And the fact that Rachel Zegler feels no responsibility for Disney, that is paying her millions of dollars and has invested literally hundreds of millions of dollars into this project, she feels no responsibility to act like an adult, to keep her yap shut, and to tell everybody that I want your business. That to me, and this whole thing just really encapsulates mo the modern Hollywood mindset that I think is going to turn around. They may not change their mind, but they're not going to continue to insult half this country because they can't afford it anymore. And this situation is the perfect encapsulation of that.
I agree with everything you said. I think that may happen. I think the stars are still so full of their high on their own supply that they may not immediately respond to this lesson, but they should. And I think maybe studios may be a little quicker to kind of let them know that what they're saying is hurting their own product. You said you feel a little sorry for her, and I do too in a way, because not only is that her generation and the way they're taught to share, it's the way Hollywood has worked for the last decade. I mean, what other star hasn't weighed in such egregious fashion and bashed their own audience and trashed this or that or insulted people who otherwise would love to see this movie? It happens again and again and again. So, I mean, it's just that the system has propped up people like Rachel and has propped up her peers. And when they say outrageous, insulting things, nothing is done or said. Unless you're Gina Carano, then you get fired from The Mandalorian, which is an important tangent. I don't want to go down that road, but I just want to mention that because it does matter. But yeah, I mean, this is, how is she different than Pedro Pascal, who compared Trump and Trump voters to Nazi-esque imagery or something very similar to that? It's just what stars do today. And the media, the entertainment press, says you go, girl and boy and they and them, because that's what they want to promote as well. And they don't realize that they're shutting out so many people. I always love this quote from Jimmy Kimmel from several years ago when he talked about his shift to the left and what impact it had on Republican voters. And he said, or viewers, and he said, well, not good riddance, but riddance. He's fine with it. And if you're Jimmy Kimmel and you're on the late night landscape and you don't have to make more than X amount in the ratings, you can push away a whole bunch of people and still make a living and quite a good one. But if you're Disney making a what they call a four quadrant movie where there's the budget's astronomical, you have to have every fanny in every seat. And when you push them away, then you pay the consequences. So I think that's the a big lesson of Zegler Gate at this point, is that she pushed away a whole bunch of people and they're seeing the consequences.
How would the movie have been accepted by both the media and the public if Ziegler had played ball? Have you, I assume you've seen it.
Yeah, the movie is very woke. I didn't mind the movie. I thought, as it was entertaining enough, and she has a lovely voice, and I thought that things worked well. And given all the repairs that went on behind the scenes, it didn't look like it on screen. I was really taken aback that we were able to pr present something that looked like this was the plan all along. Again, it's super girl bossy for sure. They try to deny the relationship and the romance between her and the prince-like character. There's a lot going on here, but I thought it was passable entertainment. But had she not opened her mouth, yeah, listen, this is the kind of movie that would build some nice general buzz that it's another live action Disney adaptation. Those tend to do well. Everyone loves Snow White, the source material. And you take away Zegler's comments and the dwarf incident. Maybe this gets a traditional rollout and maybe it just underperforms a bit. Who knows? I mean, they needed the alternate universe, but this did not help. This only hurt.
And you have to also remember how much it's not just the box office returns. This movie cost at least $250 million in production budget and another $100 million at least in marketing. So we're talking about 350, maybe even $400 million if you want to be honest about the accounting, because they can be a little tricky. The movie needed to make about $1 billion to, turn a small profit. Because people forget that the theaters don't show these movies for free. They get their cut, which is generally half of the money. So that's why these movies have to make so much more. But there's also the merchandising that is now down the tubes. I mean, you
Yeah.
know, and people kind of forget that. It's like there's a, if this was a big hit, like Christian, you and I are of the generation where we remember the glory years really of Disney's animation, 2D animation in the 90s with movies like Little Mermaid and Aladdin. And you know,
Lion King.
all that whole that and Beauty and the Beast and all those things, and they made huge bank, and they were widely seen by people, adults, kids. You know, people got the home videos and would watch them. They would sing the songs like Under the Sea. They would stick in your heads. It was. I mean, Disney was just printing money. In fact, that's really the big comeback story for Disney. That really turned everything around and made them the global behemoth that they became. But you know, and just think about all the merchandising that came from those movies. You know, all the Ariel Halloween costumes, all of the Sebastian T-shirts and plushies and all that stuff. All of that money is now gone by Disney too, and it's because nobody's embracing this movie. You will not see little girls dressing up as Snow White in this Halloween. You know, this just won't happen. And again, I think this is really going to be the wake-up call. I think a lot of other studios are going to realize that we can't be spending $300 million on movies anymore. We need to get our budgets under control. We need to get our stories under control and write them in ways that have broad appeal. And by God, we got to get our so-called stars under control, because look what can happen. You can literally lose hundreds of millions of dollars just because a quote-unquote Hollywood star cannot help but, you know, thoroughly insult, and egregiously so, half the United States. You
Christian,
know, back in the day, the studios kind of lorded over the stars, and they manufactured their image and what they said and what they couldn't say. And we don't want to go back to that. And of course, you know, she has her free speech rights to say everything she wants and anything she wants. But it is a professional responsibility not to torch the source material and not to chase half the country away. And she abdicates that. And she, you know, I almost think that the best thing that she could do right now is do an Oprah Winfrey-like interview where she's like, I was so short-sighted. I'm really sorry. You know, I feel badly for all my colleagues who worked so hard to make this movie possible. And there I am shooting my mouth off and not thinking about the big picture and the consequences. But I don't even know if she has that in her, and I don't even know that Oprah Winfrey even wants that conversation. But it's what she should do moving forward. You know, I've heard people say that there's nothing on her IMDb page at the moment as far as future projects. There are a
I was
million
just about to
actors.
ask you, Christian, is she
Yeah.
toxic now? I think the
Well,
answer is obvious.
I feel like she's got a production, maybe a live production, maybe in Europe that she's attached to. I forget the details of it, but that's another gig for her. But we're talking about, you know, if you're a Hollywood studio and you know the marketplace is just so brittle, and you know that so many movies are losing money, and you know that streaming is here, and you know that everything's a risk, and it's IP, IP, IP. You've got to have the brand and the remake and the reboot. Do you call up her agent and say, "Yeah, we want Rachel on this project"? Really? Would you really do that?
Yeah,
That's on her at this point. I mean,
I agree.
we can blame the culture and this and that, but she could have put the brakes on at any point, and she just didn't. Now, in recent days, her social media has been full of sweet, positive, uplifting, you know, wonderful images and thoughts and, you know, all this stuff. And great, the damage has been done. You know, Hollywood has short memories. Maybe they can figure it at some point, but right now, I don't know how you make that risk. I really don't.
I have to disagree with you about one thing. I don't think that
Yeah.
she has First Amendment rights when it comes to discussing this movie. And I think that in today's society, where these people, you know, the stars, the celebrities are connected 24 hours a day, she is, I think, implicitly working. Maybe not according to her contract, but it's almost explicit that she is working whenever she goes on social media, when she speaks to the media, to the press. I think that she made a huge mistake, obviously. I mean, you've explained that quite well, but boy, how do I say this? Claiming a First Amendment right to say whatever she damn well pleases, to destroy her employer is not First Amendment. The First Amendment is a little bit different than that. I'm not really making a whole lot of sense, but she was on the lot. She was working for Disney for during much of these catastrophic interviews, the texting and the tweets and you name it, and she did it. I don't know. I'm going to stop talking now. Jim, what do you have to say about that?
Well, I agree with that. But the trouble is that Rachel Zegler, you can't fire her, right? You've already shot the movie. She's already Snow White. And so, Disney, again, I stop trying to make me feel empathy for these people in Hollywood, CBG. You're killing me here. But you almost have to feel sorry for Disney in this respect because, well, they hired her. And then after the movie is shot and then you do the reshoots and all this stuff, that she just cannot help but torpedoing any chance this movie had to make money. Now, the movie, I know, Christian, you reviewed Disney's Snow White at HollywoodandToto.com, and people should go check that out. But the movie itself, this is something we should talk about, and it's the dis well, not distortion. Look, it's a story from that we know as from the Brothers Grimm, and they wrote down the story in the 19th century. And or maybe earlier than that, but the story itself of Snow White probably dates back maybe thousands of years as a story told around the campfire, in Europe. And so you have some creative license with that, but they changed the story of Snow White, and she is not, of course, she's not called Snow White because her skin is white as snow. She's called Snow White because she was born in a blizzard. So great, all right, we'll change that. And she's a girl boss fantasy now. They turned Snow White, a princess, into a into a communist commissar wannabe who wants to lead a revolution to restore the communist paradise that existed under her father. That is the plot. Am I exaggerating it, Christian, or is that pretty much the
You're
plot of this
not.
movie?
I felt like the way it was presented, it didn't feel heavy-handed to me like a lot of other woke movies. So I kind of, like, on some level, resented it. But also, like, as a critic, I have to kind of accept movies as they are. And just because it doesn't, like, align with my worldview, it doesn't mean I have to dislike it. So that was my conundrum with Snow White. I thought it was pleasant, but I don't. I'm not anything. Everything you said is right. I mean, they showed like scenes of her royal family feeding people, and they showed other things that were sort of indicative of what you're saying. And she was going to be the new leader. And, I just thought it was so amusing on a certain level where they just knew they had to have a male character. There had to be a kiss. There had to be, they couldn't write him out of the story completely, but boy, they could make him as unimpressive and as, light on as a footprint on the movie as possible, which is exactly what they did.
I'm looking at Christian's actually very kind review of Snow White right now.
And it was well received, by the way.
Yeah, I would suggest if you want another take on the movie, just go over to Hollywood and Toto and read Christian's review. I'm not going to say anything more. I think it's very interesting. But again, the quality of the movie is secondary to the catastrophe that is Disney and Rachel Ziegler. So it doesn't
Well,
really matter what kind of movie they made at this point.
right.
As
Well,
I mean, Christian already pointed that out, so.
right. Well, Christian, I think this again, Snow White is going to be looked at by Hollywood historians in many different ways. And I think it's really, in my mind, it's indicative of Hollywood's inability to tell stories the way they used to, or tell stories that have broad and wide appeal. I mean, unless you are on the left and want to raise a leftist little girl, there's not a lot in Snow White that other than maybe Rachel's voice that would appeal to you. It's not a traditional, it's a very untraditional telling of a quote unquote fairy tale. And I think it's old, it's dated, and it was filmed 2 years ago. I think that obviously the culture changed between when the movie was written and filmed and then released, so it seems really out of place, out of time, right? And I
Well,
think, but it's going to be seen as an example of Hollywood's inability to tell stories well that have broad appeal.
listen, there's a reason why we're still talking about Snow White, because the original story, even if it doesn't align perfectly with today's world, has some core themes and values that just are intrinsic to the human condition, romance and rescue and things like that. And I think what one of the most telltale signs of woke storytelling is, no, we've perfected society. We know how things should be. And everything in the past, well, that was just the past. They had it wrong. They were ill-informed. They were bigoted. They were, all those things. So we got it right. And it was a fascinating article, maybe 6 months ago. I think it was the New York Times. And they were basically kind of writing the death knell to the woke era of storytelling. And they said, even these recent films already feel dated. And I think that's one of the problems with Snow White, this new one. It already feels dated. Yes, it was shot roughly 2 years ago, but it came from a different mindset. And the New York Times author, it was really a compelling piece. It was shocking to see it there. Just said, like, this was a very specific time, and movies that are maybe 2 years old, 3 years old, already feel musty in a way because they don't speak to those universal truths. And I thought that was such a brilliant way to put it. And I agree. And then maybe that's another reason why this movie's not doing well, because it already feels like a piece of the past. Whereas I imagine people are probably going to watch the 1937 original Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and marvel at it anew and not feel like they're watching a relic. And, listen, the animation's dated, blah, blah, blah. But, that one stood the test of time. Well, this movie, it couldn't even stand the test of 2025.
Well, I think it points to the lack of talent, frankly, that has been cultivated in Hollywood when it comes to being a creative and writing. I mean, look, you could, Star Wars, George Lucas saw Star Wars. Of course, it's very layered. It can be seen in many different ways, but he saw it partly in his mind as an allegory about the Vietnam War. But I didn't notice that when I saw it as a kid, and most adults saw it, didn't really necessarily see that as a kid. And it's because, if you want to, tell a story or deliver a larger message, it can be done in a creative way that has broad appeal but still gets the message across. And Hollywood today lacks any subtlety, it seems. They have to get their message across in glaring, blaring neon letters and with a sledgehammer across the forehead, or they feel like they're not getting through. And what that reveals, I think, is a disrespect for the audience. And I think that's where Hollywood has really gone wrong. I mean, Christian, you wrote a whole book about woke Hollywood. People should definitely look up Christian Toto's name at Amazon or wherever you get your books and get that book as well. But I think underneath all of the woke Hollywood that we're seeing rise and now I think decline and fall, what's beneath all of that is a contempt for the audience. And it's used to be veiled, perhaps, but it's not anymore. And if Hollywood needs to learn to respect its customers and not treat them with contempt, it seems to me that in the peak of woke Hollywood, they felt like it was an obligation for the American public to consume their product. And they figured we have to get our message across. And, in even things like, Tolkien, like Rings of Power, there's a lot of messaging in there as well. And they forget, these guys, and they have no choice. They're either going to watch our stuff or watch nothing. And what Hollywood has found out is that, nothing's a pretty good option, or YouTube is a better option than spending $20 to go to the movie theater and have a message that's insulting to me and treats me like an idiot, as well as a racist and a Nazi. I have other options. And so Hollywood's learning a very, very expensive lesson in that way. But they don't even have the creativity anymore to get a message across in a subtle way.
Bingo.
We're
And
telling
the
them not riddance, but good riddance, apparently.
The thing is that they are frantic to discard the objective morality of the last 2,500 years. And that is I think, the big change in Hollywood. You talk about the Brothers Grimm. Those are timeless messages. And you go back to this little known book called The Bible. These are timeless messages. And these are messages that resonate with a lot of America. Less so in Hollywood's other markets, perhaps. I'm not really sure, but definitely in America. And that's why subtle religious movies, I think, do always see, at least from my perspective, they seem to do better than one would think. And it, getting beaten over the head that there is no objective morality, and that what you learned as a child is wrong. And here is the new paradigm. As Jim pointed out, it's insulting to the audience, and they're responding appropriately, I think.
You know, Jim mentioned before, and in sort of in a fun way, I think it was Jim, that all these YouTube channels are thriving thanks to Disney. But you know, it's kind of the democratization of our culture right now, where we don't have to take it. When Hollywood spits at us, we can spit right back. And I think they don't realize that. And I think, you know, we touched on it briefly, but it really should be hammered home that the son of the Snow White producer did a rant on social media against Reg Zegler and what she did. I think he may have pulled it down afterwards, or maybe people got angry with him. But there's always, listen, no matter what side you pick, others will get angry with you. But you really need to read what he said word for word, because it was so interesting that here's this woman who's kind of casting aside all the work of all the people who contributed to the film and just was selfish and narcissistic. I mean, it really was a great way to encapsulate what's going on in the industry right now. And I don't understand how actors don't get it. And I've been saying for years, every time the actors get political in the Oscars, the ratings go down and people turn away. And yet they keep doing it because their paychecks kept coming. But I think at some point soon, the paychecks are going to keep shrinking and shrinking, and maybe they'll stop. And I think that's when maybe they realize, hey, maybe getting on my soapbox and attacking half the audience isn't a good idea. And you know, obviously it's all coming from the left to the right, but the same would be from the right to the left. I'm not a big fan of Kid Rock going on stage and talking politics and stuff. I don't think he's super eloquent and he does it, and I don't think it's appropriate. So, you know, it just so happens that all the messaging comes from one side. But if the roles were reversed, it would be just as off-putting, I think.
That's a very good point. At some point, people want to be entertained, and they don't want to be beaten over the head with the political message of the day. And that's how I feel. I'm consuming far fewer movies than I used to, and that is certainly in part because I look at the movies available to me, and I think, yeah, I don't want to be lectured to today. I just want to be entertained. And that's one of the wonderful things about the explosion in the internet. And that is that I have access to every single movie ever, well, almost every single movie ever made, unless it burned up in a fire someplace in the 20s. And there's a lot of great stuff out there. I remember buying the DVD for Some Like It Hot and showing it to our kids who were, I don't know, 12 and 10 at the time. And they were amazed. That was just fantastic entertainment. Is it a serious movie? No, of course not. But it was well done. It held up after, I don't know, when was it made?
50s?
50s, yeah. So it held up, 50 or 60 years. That's the kind of stuff that I watch more and more. I'll return to movies that I watched 25 years ago because they're simply better and certainly more pleasing than the typical message-laden movie of today. Anyway.
I forget the creator who said this, but I thought it was rather chilling. The creator said, "When I make something today, a TV show or movie, I am competing against everything that was ever made." And what he means by that is that, like you said, you just go to your Roku, remote, and most of everything ever made is right there at that particular second. I remember as a kid thinking, "I've got to rush home from school because Batman's on. I wanted to watch the Batman reruns." No, I can just sit in front of the TV right now and watch anything I want. So if I create something new tomorrow, it has to compete with everything that's ever been made. Just think how daunting that is as a storyteller. It's just shocking.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's actually telling that Snow White is not going to have, the reason we know Snow White is not going to have legs. The live action remake of The Little Mermaid started a little soft, but it had legs and it ended up making at least breaking even or making a little money for Disney. Snow White is a bomb and one of the biggest bombs of all time because in its second week, it got beat by a, paint by numbers, Jason Statham punch him in the face movie called A Working Man. And I actually want to see the work or A Working Man. I watched Jason Statham's what was it, The Beekeeper.
Beekeeper, yeah.
that I found that entertaining. I'm watching Reacher now. Alan Ritchson on Amazon Prime. Alan Ritchson is a leftist. He has sometimes not been able to keep his mouth shut, but he's not nearly as obnoxious and relentless. That's the important part, as Rachel Zegler has been. And you know, Reacher is now in its third or fourth season, is the number one streaming show in America right now. And I think there's a reason for that, and it's because the American audience is craving, frankly, something just kind of mindless but fun and entertaining, because they've had it up to their eyeballs with the messaging, and they're just turning it away. But it's not as if they don't want things. They want a Jason Statham movie. They want, you know, Alan Ritchson in Reacher, and maybe one day they're going to want, you know, a 40-year-old version kind of comedy again. If we can get back to making those kinds of movies and making money off them and having them successful and having people talk about them, then we'll be on the right track.
Christian, your review of The Beekeeper, which I have seen, I have not seen The Working Man, but your review of The Beekeeper was spot on. It was very entertaining for me because Jason Statham is a great shoot 'em up guy. He does that marvelously. Plot is secondary, obviously, but yeah, I enjoyed your review quite a bit. But
Thanks.
you made a larger point in your review of A Working Man, and that is that Statham might actually be a sort of a throwback to the 80s action hero. And I thought that was a very interesting point. And it follows what Jim just said. We just want to be entertained. And Statham figured that out, or his production company, I assume he has a production company now, figured that out. And that's one reason why he's beating the snot out of Snow White right now.
Yeah, I think he's a good actor, or potentially a good actor. I think he could stretch. He's just not really stretching that much. But I do think that, in many Hollywood decades in the past, the actors wouldn't stretch that much. A John Wayne wouldn't do silly comedy or try to do Shakespeare. He just knew what audiences wanted from him. I think Statham understands his value to the audience, and he delivers. And he doesn't sleepwalk through his performances. He's there. Dude's 57, doesn't move like a 57-year-old. He's got 1 year on me, and I can't do half that stuff. But I do think he understands why he's got his role in Hollywood. And I don't know what his politics are. He could be left, he could be right, he could be center. Maybe he's said a couple of comments over the years, but it's certainly not his brand. His brand is, I'm an action star, and I'm not pretty. I don't get the job done without, ruffling a few feathers, and I get dirty along the way, and I'll take some punishment, and I'm going to bleed, but I'm going to do what I have to do. And his last two movies have a really strong moral component. In this new one, he's trying to find his boss's adult daughter who got kidnapped by sex traffickers, and this boss has been good to him. He treated him like a member of the family, and he says, "I've got these skills. I've got to be able to at least try to help this daughter." And then the beekeeper was this just these monstrously evil people scam older people out of their money, their life savings, and he goes and cleans up the trash. I mean, what could be more enjoyable than that?
Absolutely. By the way, he was in a couple, at least one Guy Ritchie movie that I
Yeah,
remember.
Snatch, I believe.
Snatch. Yeah, he was quite good in that. I mean, it's
Yeah.
one of many character actors in it, but he was great. So,
Yeah,
well, he's what
as
he.
my review of A Working Man, I said you could just sense that he's good enough where they could kind of write some more layers to his character. Like, he's a guy who's a former special ops officer, warrior, and now he has to, begrudgingly use those skills again, almost like Shane. He's got to strap on the six shooter. But what if he liked it? What if in the middle of the movie, when he's kicking the bad guys, down the hill, you see a smile on his face, or like he's really relishing it? You don't see that in the movie, and maybe it's a spoiler and it's a really minor one, but that'd be kind of fun. I think as an actor, he could pull it
Yeah.
off. So he doesn't do that, but
Certainly
that's what
the
he's there
audience
for.
enjoys it immensely whenever he does
Yeah.
that sort of stuff. Anyway, listen, we're sort of deviating from the topic at hand, and it is about time to end this podcast. But I would like to thank my two guests, Jim Lakely of the Heartland Institute, who was gracious enough to join us at the last moment, and Christian Toto. Folks, just go to his website. It's great. Even if you just need a source for for excellent and rational movie reviews, that's it. The other stuff is a bonus, but read his movie reviews. They're fantastic. Christian,
Thank you. Yep.
thank you very, very much for coming. Jim Lakely, thank you for joining us again. I really, really appreciate it. And
My pleasure.
any last quick words, Jim?
No, I mean, I just go Jason Statham. I would just say really quickly, Christian Toto is one who will say that, you know, the era of the movie star is gone. There are no movie stars anymore, except maybe for Tom Cruise. But I'm telling you, Jason Statham is a movie star. And he is going to be the movie star of you know, he just has something. There's something. You have to watch him. You have to look at him. He captures your attention, and I think that is what a movie star is. So we have one left, Christian. Jason Statham.
Christian?
Also, do check out my podcast. Hollywoodintoto.com is the website, and the podcast is the Hollywood in Toto podcast. But I do try to kind of capture what's not being covered in other media outlets, whether it's anti-Semitism in the pop culture realm, or free speech issues, or just bashing fools like Neil Young, who I'm just gonna at some point very soon I'll be teeing off both on my website and on my podcast because I can't hold it back anymore. That guy's driving me crazy. So do check them out. And I think it's such a great thing that we have this me new media space where we can kind of have these different voices that reflect views that aren't being heard.
So, without further ado, we're going to end this. Christian Toto, thank you very much. Jim Lakely, thank you very much. And to our audience, thank you very much for listening and commenting over at Cutjib Newsletter and even at Ace of Spades. I appreciate it. I appreciate hitting the tip jar. Everything you do is a wonderful thing for me and Sefton. So, thank you very much. And thanks for listening.